I never cease to be amazed at the order of events as far as God is concerned. Pastor Hamilton mentioned that 53 years ago, one Good Friday, that Christ, or 52, I don't want to rush things. 52 years ago, he asked Christ into his life one Good Friday. For me, it was 32 years ago, one Good Friday, that Jesus Christ became my Savior. And I find it amazing that we are standing here today communicating with you the events of our lives, and that at certain points, way back there in time, yet known to God, he so orchestrated things that for both of us, our spiritual birth would begin on a Good Friday. And I thank God for that. It is my responsibility to share with you now the fourth word of the cross. There were seven words which Jesus Christ uttered from the cross. And we come to the fourth of these. And I invite your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark 15. And as you turn to Mark 15, I trust that you will ask God again to make these precious words to be full of meaning to us as we read them. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour had come, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And when some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Behold, he is calling for Elijah." 3 hours of intense darkness. 3 hours of unexplained darkness. 3 hours of agony beyond human description or human understanding. At the end of what had been transpiring between God and his Son. At the end of what had been transpiring between God and God, if you please. At that point came the voice of Jesus Christ, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." There is something of a mystery of this. I don't know about you. I know only about me and what you tell me about yourself. But I remember as a young child, listening to a mother in the middle of a silent night, screaming at the very top of her voice as she was remembering her young child that had died in infancy. There was a sense of hopelessness. There was a sense of anger. There was a sense in which she felt betrayed by the very Creator who had given her the privilege of bringing this child into the world. And suddenly this child was snapped out of her attention, out of her vision, and out of her care. And night after night after night, when the night was as still as the center of a cemetery, the screeching scream of this mother would come. It terrified me as a child, and at times I can still imagine hearing this mother crying. It is suggested that no night is so long, no night is so still, as the night in which you are sick and you cannot fall asleep. You hear everything. You imagine almost everything. Because we have no control of what's happening to us or around us. But my friends, Jesus Christ on the cross, when the fourth word was uttered, was absolutely conscious of everything that was going on, because the darkness had to do symbolically with what he was going through for you and for me. Pastor Hamilton reminded us about forgiveness. May I suggest to you, as we go through this text, that God never forgives sin. May I repeat? God never forgives sins. He forgives sinners, but someone has to pay the price for the sin. Someone has to take the responsibility for it. We do not get off scot-free. Someone paid the price, and the hymn writer understood this when he wrote, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Someone paid the price. Who did? Not the pastor, not the preacher, not the pope. No individual could pay that price of sin. Only he, Jesus Christ, could have done it. Let us, for the next few minutes then, try to excavate just what is happening here when he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Consider with me, first of all, the mystery of his cry. The mystery of his cry. The mystery is not something spooky. Mystery in the sense, my friends, is the idea of something that cannot be fully understood by human mind. Something that human mind cannot delve into in and of itself. A mystery is something that is beyond the grasp of mere intellect. It is something that must be revealed by God. Two things about the mystery of this cry. First of all, the mystery of the silence of God. The mystery of the silence of God. Consider, my friends, that in the Garden of Eden, when there was silence between God and Adam, when there was silence between Adam and Eve, God moved during the cool of the day, and he broke the silence and listened to Adam as God said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard your voice." What a contrast to Christ on the cross. God was willing to break the silence for sinning man, but he is not willing to break the silence for his son. In fact, he cannot break the silence for his son. We shall see why. There's a mystery about it. There's a contrast. Here is God breaking the silence between him and man. But then when we look, my friends, upon the cross, when we enter into the darkness of those 3 hours, we see not only the silence of God, we are carried away in our minds not only by that silence, but by what I call the consequence for what Christ, that darkness, that silence, had to do with the fact that God could not in his own nature look upon what was happening to his son, since he was the one who was actually causing his son to go through it. He was there for your sins and mine. Adam's sin rightly caused him to fear the silence of God. He had a right to feel that way. Ah, my friends, but when we come to Christ, what sin had he ever committed? What wrong had he ever done? Who could find any sin resident in him? None. No one could accuse him of sin. One writes, and I quote fully for you, so beautifully said, "The cross was God's greatest silence. There the powers of darkness was allowed to make its final bid against the Son of God. At the cross, during the silence of God, the demons were unleashed, and the most dreadful passion since the fall of Adam was given free rein," R-E-I-N. And God had nothing to say. There was the simplest cry of the dying, capital D. The dying asking, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And God has nothing to say. Nature was embarrassed by what was happening, and the sun refused to shine. Nature spoke eloquently, but God had nothing to say. It was during this silence, my friends, that Christ asked the question. The question which human mind cannot begin to answer. The question which human mind cannot begin to fathom. Why? 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 And no man could answer that question, for only God knew what God was doing to God. So we have the silence of God, the mystery of it. God could speak at the baptism of Christ, but has nothing to say at his death. God could speak when Christ was on his way to the cross, but God has nothing to say to Christ on the cross. God was silent. But then there was another mystery. And this is the mystery of the separation of God. The separation of God. Twice in his life, our Lord had said, "The Father and I are one. Who can divide one?" And yet he cried, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" That word forsake, my friends, has different meanings to it. I'll give you three. To forsake means to be deserted. To forsake means that he was abandoned. To forsake means that he was left helpless. Here is the separation of God. If Jesus Christ is God, manifested in the flesh, then how could God be silent to God? Isn't that a mystery? Isn't that a mystery? If he who had known unbroken communion with his Father from all eternity, there was never a breach of the communion between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, never a turning away in the opposite direction, they were one in essence, one in nature, one in purpose, one in goal. And at the cross, God was silent, and he was silent by separating himself from his Son. What a mystery. You know, I was shopping for a bit last night. And at the best of time, I don't mind shopping. I really don't. I have to do it, so I do it. But I was grieved as I looked at one grocery store that said, "We're open tomorrow, Good Friday, from 8 to 7. I was grieved. I was grieved, my friends, because the words of the Lord Jesus, prophetically spoken from the book of the Psalms, came to me again. "No man cares for my soul." A day like today, which gives meaning to all of life, meaning to hope, substance to hope, we could be thinking, my friends, of making money. By the way, may I just give you one little information? That's why we do not take an offering on Good Friday. Because Good Friday has nothing to do, my friends, with what we can get from people. Good Friday has to do with what God has done for people. And the church stands as a testimony of God reaching out to the world. God, in mystery, separated himself from himself. Who can explain that? I can't. That's the mystery of the cry of Christ. It was the mystery of the silence of God, and it was the mystery of the separation of God. Secondly, and quickly, the meaning of his cry. The meaning of his cry. And friends, if you get absolutely nothing else from what has gone on this morning, don't miss this. The first meaning of that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is the inflexibility of divine justice. The inflexibility of divine justice. It means that God had no other choice but to do what he was doing if God was to be God. Have you ever been stopped by a policeman for speeding? I'll look up, I won't look out. What a terrible feeling when the police comes to you, and what a joy when he says, I'm not talking about me now, I want you to know. I've been told this. When he says, "Be careful the next time. Don't go over the speed limit." Whew. Wow. Wow. You know what I'm told? I am told that it is possible to go. There's a lot of conviction going on all over this place this morning. So many people are being convicted. I am told that it is possible to drive 5 or 10 miles over the speed limit. This is a traffic cop. Well, my friend, I do not see little final prints under the speed limit. It says 60, and I drive 60. You know why, my friends? Because I'm telling you why. There is flexibility in human justice. It is possible to break the law and to go 20 kilometers over and get a warning. But when it comes to divine justice, God cannot deny himself to be flexible with justice. If holiness demands that sin be punished, the only thing God can do is to punish sin. He cannot adjust it so that it suits the individual or the times. And the meaning of the cry was that even in the Son of God, even when God, the Son, was suffering on the cross, God in glory could not adjust his justice to make sure that his Son does not feel the full force of his holy just, his holy wrath. What a meaning to this cry. My favorite verse in Scripture is Romans 8 and 32. God, who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The little word spared is an important word. God spared not his own Son. Listen, God did not become lenient with his Son. He did not become soft with his Son. The silence was symbolical of the wrath and the judgment of God. He was going through feeling the full force of God's wrath, and God did not change one moment during those moments of darkness because it was his Son on the cross. God did not become flexible with his justice, and God does not become flexible with his justice. What a meaning. He spared not his own Son. John Moore is a personal friend of mine. You might not know who he is, but once you hear songs like Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, he's the one who has wrote that. And John has also written, why did they nail him to Calvary's tree? Why? Tell me why was he there? Jesus the healer? Jesus the savior? Jesus the friend? Tell me why was he there? All my iniquity on him was laid. He paid the price for my sins. That is why, my friends, we had that reading this morning. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We thought he was suffering for his own sin, but no, he was suffering for yours and for mine. And the justice of God, the holiness of God, required it. Required it. So there is inflexibility in the justice of God, and the judge of God, the judge of the whole earth, always does what is right. I have a little thing I came across this morning as I was thinking of this. His own wrath was poured out against his own Son, therefore poured out against himself. Poured it against himself. That's the inflexibility of divine justice. But my friends, there's one more thought. One more thought. It is the inevitability of divine justice. Listen. Romans 3:23. The wages of sin might be death. Does it say that? The wages of sin should be death. Does it say that? It says the wages of sin is the logical consequence. And God could no more wink at the sins of humankind than the Ethiopian is able to change his own collar, or the leopard his own spots. God has to. His divine holiness demands it. So, my friends, that cry from the cross was your cry. That cry from the cross was my cry. That cry from the cross was the ultimate cry of every human being without God. That cry from the cross, my friends, was the cry that brought salvation to you and to me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us that Jesus Christ gave himself an offering for sin, that he might bring us to God as a sweet-smelling savor. Why did he die? He died that way, my friends, because God's justice is not flexible. God's justice is inevitable. And because God is love, he had to find a way within himself to love sinners, but to deal with their sins. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, that by the death of Jesus Christ, God became the justifier of sinners by remaining just, by putting it on his Son. P.T. Forsyth writes, and I close, God dying for man, I am not afraid of that phrase. I cannot do without it, says P.T. Forsyth. God dying for men, and for such men, malignantly hostile, the holiness of God is meaningless without the judgment of God. The one thing God could not do in the face of the rebellion of humanity is to do nothing. He had to do something. He must either infect punishment or assume it. And thanks be unto God, in the cry of Jesus Christ, God both inflicted punishment and he assumed it.